We are examining the Beatitudes from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 on the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you've joined us this morning. If you missed last week's program, you can get that on our website, the church website, wbcoc.org. wbcoc.org. The Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We post our Let the Bible Speak programs on our website, and you're welcome to go back and get those. We're looking at the Beatitudes, the attitudes that we need to have in our life to be right with God. A good way to remember the word beatitude. The Beatitudes come from a word that means happy or blessed. And Jesus is telling us how to be truly happy or blessed. None of these things have to do with material possessions and money and things. They have to do with attitudes that will cause us to be right with God, come to God, obey God, and be blessed and happy as a result of that. Last week on our program, we looked at the poor in spirit and they that mourn. Today, I would like to look at the meek and those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Last week on the program, we looked at the first beatitude, the poor in spirit. This is a humble attitude that causes us to be dependent upon God. But if we have a dependence upon God, then that will lead us to the second beatitude, those that mourn. It will lead to a proper view of sin. And then that second beatitude, they that mourn, will lead to the third beatitude, which is a meek and submissive approach to God's word and God's will. Not only, friends, do I want you to understand what each beatitude means, but I want you to see the connection between them. One leads to the other. Dependence upon God leads to a proper view of sin, which leads to a submissive approach to God's will. And then that attitude, or beatitude, leads to hungering and thirsting for righteousness, doing something about it, seeking a solution for our sin. So let's look this morning at meekness and hungering and thirsting after righteousness. First of all, what meekness is not. Meekness is not physical weakness. It's not someone who's spineless or timid. It's not someone who's cowardly or a pushover or someone who's walked on. Sometimes we have an expression, meek as a mouse. The problem with that is it associates meekness with a very weak and small creature, and that's not the case. Meekness is also not compromise, where we're just spineless and we go along with anything and everything. It's not going along to get along. It's not peace at any price. It's not some easygoing indifference. Just roll with it. What it is, Jesus uses a word that means a gentle and mild and subdued spirit or attitude. Someone who accepts one's spiritual state before God, without arguing with God, without disputing with God, without resisting God, someone who's submissive to God and His word and will. I have sin in my life. I'm humble enough to admit it. Number two, I'm going to mourn over that sin. And then number three, I'm going to submit to what God wants me to do to get out of that sin. Meekness is literally strength under control. You can be a very strong person, but you're under control. Think of a horse. A horse is a very powerful and big animal, but when you put a bit in the horse's mouth, you have a lot of strength there, but it's under control of the rider. Strength under control. Restraint of God's will. Someone who's disciplined. They're spiritually strong and disciplined because they're submissive to divine control. The Greeks in the first century actually used this word to describe, like I said, a horse a minute ago, some animal, a wild animal that has been domesticated and tamed. So don't get the idea that meekness means weakness. What it means is a submissive, controlled, disciplined attitude to God. Meekness is the opposite of self-assertiveness, where I'm going to be out there and do my own thing, self-interest, or insubordination. It's someone who brings their life under control and conformity to the word and will of God. So, we've got to understand what meekness is. If you have a meek Christian, for example, they are kind and considerate, they're courteous and fair, they're in control of their temper, they're teachable, they're submissive to God's word, they might also be bold and courageous and strong. They might even be angry, have a righteous indignation against what is wrong. They might object to what is wrong. But they are in submission to God's word and will. So friends, Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Meekness. Submissiveness. We need to have this in our life. There are three people in the Bible that I'd like to talk about who were meek to illustrate this matter that meekness does not mean weakness. First of all, Moses is described as the meekest man in all the earth, Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. And yet he was very bold and courageous and strong. He ground up the golden calf and made the Israelites to drink it. He was very strong and courageous in leading the Israelites out of Egypt and through the wilderness wandering. Yet he was submissive to God's word and God's will. And he erred in the matter of striking the rock instead of speaking to it in Numbers chapter 20. And there was a grave consequence for that. But for the most part in his life, he's known for being submissive and faithful in God's house, Hebrews 3, 2 through 5. And by faith, he forsook Egypt and led the Israelites through the wilderness wandering, Hebrews 11, 24 through 27. He's a meek man, and yet he's very strong, but he's submissive to the will of God. Friends, that's what Jesus is talking about. Bring your life under control to God's word and will. Moses is an example of strength under control. Jesus is another example. Jesus was meek and lowly, he said, Matthew 11, 29. He came riding into Jerusalem on the colt, the foal of an ass, meek and lowly. Matthew 21, verse 5, in fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah 9, verse 9. Jesus was a meek man, and yet he was very bold and courageous and strong. In John chapter 2, he cleansed the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and ran out the animals. He did it again in Matthew chapter 21. He gave a scathing rebuke to the scribes and Pharisees, calling out their hypocrisy in Matthew chapter 23. He was very strong. But he was submissive to God's will. In the Garden of Eden, he prayed, "Not my will be done, but your will be done," speaking to his father, Matthew 26:39. John 8:29, he always did the things that were pleasing to his father. Philippians 2:5-8, he was obedient to his father's will, going all the way to the cross. So again, a second example of strength, yet under control to what God wants for us. A third example that comes to my mind is the Apostle Paul. He was meek, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. And yet we find, just like Moses and just like Jesus, he was bold and courageous and strong. He would confront sin. He had to be strong physically and even mentally to make all the different travels that he had to make and all the different hardships that he had to endure. And he could confront false brethren and false teachers. He had no trouble speaking in such a way to be confrontational and bold. And in 2 Corinthians, he told the Corinthian brethren that if they did not clean up and clear up their sin, that he would come with a rod, and he would come in such a way that would be very firm. Paul could be strong while at the same time being meek, because he was submissive to God's will. Christ lived in him. He did not rule himself, but Christ did. Galatians 2:20, and it was Christ that was magnified in his body. Philippians 1:20, not himself. So friends, meekness, that submissive attitude to doing what God wants. We need meekness toward God. We receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls, James 1:21. We need to have a meek attitude toward Scripture. And I'm going to humbly submit to what the Word of God says. We need to be showing meekness toward our fellow man. Meekness is one of the, or gentleness is one of the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:23. We need meekness in teaching others, 2 Timothy 2:25. Not this assertiveness that we see so much in our society today. Young people are being told and they're being taught, assert yourself, yell at people, hit people, run over people, and it's getting out of hand in many places. And if you don't like somebody, or if somebody disagrees with you, just yell at them and physically abuse them in some way. And we need to get back to a meek and gentle spirit, meek and quiet spirit toward our fellow man. And then Jesus says, "The meek shall inherit the earth." This is taken from the Old Testament Psalm in Psalm 37, verse 9. It's a promise found in Psalm 37, 9 and several other places in that chapter. The meek shall inherit the earth. It's a promise that when we're submissive to God's word and will, he will give us what belongs to us. And to the Old Testament Israelite, they would inherit the land. They would keep the land that God promised to them. Now, we know from Israel's history that they were taken off the land when they stopped submitting to the word of God and the will of God. To inherit the earth means to be given what is rightly coming to you by God's inheritance. It's not something you buy. It's not something you steal. It's not something you earn. It's an inheritance from God. And you, whatever inheritance God has for you in the New Testament, and we inherit many spiritual things, not a physical land, but many spiritual things, we'll inherit that. We'll get that. And it will not be taken away from us. But you've got to be meek. Are you a meek sinner who will come and submit and obey the gospel today? Or will you resist and assert yourself and say no? Are you a meek Christian who will submit to living and worshiping as God directs? Or will you resist and desist and say no? Or will you give in and say yes? The meek. And then, if we're meek and submissive, that will lead us to our next beatitude, the fourth one. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In the first beatitude, we have complete and utter spiritual bankruptcy before God. In the second beatitude, we have mourning over sin and its effects. In the third beatitude that we just looked at, we have a submission to God's will. And in the fourth beatitude, we have a seeking of a solution to that sin. We're going to hunger and thirst for wanting to be right. I've been wrong in my sin. I want to get out of that, and I want to be right. I want to be righteous. So hungering and thirsting. Let's consider for a moment that expression, hungering and thirsting. Hungering and thirsting is a sign of physical desire for food. I'm hungry and I'm thirsty when it comes time for breakfast or lunch or dinner. And I can't wait to get something to eat and drink physically. It's also a sign, friends, of a spiritual appetite. Jesus said in Matthew 4 and verse 4, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In John chapter 4, 13 and 14, Jesus said, my meat is to do the Father's will. Jesus is the bread that comes down out of heaven, John 6, 27 and 35, and I need to long for that bread. I need to be hungering and thirsting for righteousness. This is an expression of a strong and deep desire, a craving, an eager longing to be right with God by obeying His word. It comes from a conviction and an earnestness that we have to get to God and His word and be right. And this hungering and thirsting will cause us to grow. The more we eat, as when a baby is born, when that baby eats its mother's milk and gets a little bit older and has solid foods and table food, you're going to grow when you eat and drink. And we take the milk of the word, 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3, and we grow. And we desire it like a babe longs for its mother's milk, that we have this strong desire for the milk of the word to grow on it and get stronger by it. What a great attitude. We've lost that in many places in our society. People, I don't care about the Bible. I don't care about church. I don't care about learning how to be right with God. I spend all of my time and money on fun things and games and material things and my phone and social media and the internet. And there's a time and place for recreation, but we need to be hungering and thirsting after righteousness. The psalmist meditated on the word of God day and night, Psalm 1 and verse 2, to long for the word of God. In Psalm 42, 1 and 2, my soul pants for you, O Lord, like a deer pants for the water brooks. We've got to have this attitude of I've got to get to the Word of God. John 4:32-34, my meat is to do the Father's will. That's what sustains me. That's what fills me. Yes, Jesus physically ate, but he's trying to make a point that his priority, his spiritual food, if you will, is a priority. So friends, we need to hunger and thirst, and then Jesus said, after righteousness. This is the character or the quality of being right. Whatever conforms to the revealed will of God. It's not right based upon what I think or feel, but righteousness as is revealed in the New Testament scriptures. Righteous, I can be righteous as a sinner when I come and obey the gospel. It's in the gospel, Romans 1:16-17, that I can be saved and learn how to be right. Righteousness comes to the Christian when he continues to live by the gospel, Romans 6:13 and Philippians 1:11. This hungering and thirsting after righteousness is a strong, deep desire for doing right and being right and thinking right. Not self-righteous, not where we think we are better than others, not where we walk around and look down at people, look down our nose at people, so to speak, but we simply want to be right with God. And we have missed that mark greatly in our nation and around the world. The principles of right in the New Testament and wrong are being ignored today. And things are out of hand with abortion and homosexuality and so-called transgender and violence and drug abuse and alcohol problems and physical abuse and gang violence and robbery, all kinds of unrighteous behaviors going on because we have left the righteous principles that are found in Judeo-Christian principles, Old Testament and New Testament principles of righteousness. We need it in our nation. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, lifts it up, but sin is a reproach to any people. We need it in our lives personally, and we need it nationally, and we need it quickly. We are going down quickly the spiral, slippery slope of sin and degradation, and we've got to get it back quick. And that's by individuals coming to God from the leadership all the way down to the average citizen and everybody in between. We've got to have a wake-up call, a spiritual awakening, come to God, come to God's Word, not the Quran, not the Hindu Vedas, not Old Testament Judaism, but the New Testament Gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just any old religious book out there, but God, the God of Scripture, and the New Testament Gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got to come back to those righteous principles, that wisdom from above. Everybody's walking around with wisdom from below, from man, and you can see the problems that it's causing. We need to hunger and thirst after that New Testament righteousness. And the promise is we will be filled. I'll talk about that in just a minute. One of the problems with hungering and thirsting is, if you're not careful, you will fill that appetite. You can spoil your appetite. We used to get in trouble when I was a kid. We would get in trouble for spoiling our appetite. We would go through the kitchen and open up the refrigerator or the pantry, and we get out something sweet like some cookies or something else, and we would eat that. And then when mom was working hard to make supper, and when it came time for supper, we weren't hungry because we had spoiled our appetite on that which is not completely good for us. And that's what happens spiritually speaking. People spoil their hunger and thirst for righteousness. They spoil it with other things in life, and they don't want to hunger and thirst. They don't have a hunger or thirst for righteousness. Sometimes it's worldliness. They have filled themselves with worldliness. Sometimes people fill themselves with human traditions and human philosophies. Sometimes they fill themselves with misplaced priorities or what they think or feel. And we're spoiling our appetite. We're spoiling our desire for things by just filling it with the empty sugar cookies, if you will, of this society. The problem with eating sugar cookies and things like that is you're hungry pretty soon after. And people fill their lives with all this stuff from the world, and they're still hungry. They're not completely happy. They're not completely blessed. But if we will hunger and thirst after righteousness, we will have a filled life, a blessed life. So don't spoil your appetite, friends, on the things of this world. Jesus said, "Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are they, for they shall be filled." You will get what is coming to you by God. You'll get what you're searching for. You'll be filled up with good and righteous things that will help you and your marriage and your family. And you're going to want more. Once you experience the righteousness of God, the righteous principles, you're going to want more, and you're going to want to grow and add to your faith. 2 Peter 1:5, you're going to want to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you will become what you eat. Have you ever heard that expression, you are what you eat? You are what you eat spiritually. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be righteous. 1 John 3:7. What a great thing. You'll be right with God. You are what you eat. So, the kingdom of heaven is not for the faint of heart or the easygoing. It's for those who strongly desire it and crave it. The kingdom of heaven is for those who have a spiritual appetite. What kind of an appetite do you have? As I said earlier, are you meek? Are you meek and willing to submit to God's will? And do you have a spiritual appetite that you are craving? You've heard this message, for example, and you want to obey the gospel. You want more. Heaven is a place for the spiritual hungering and thirsting. And that's where your ultimate inheritance and satisfaction will be when you enter into the new heavens and the new earth, 2 Peter 3:13. And it's a place wherein dwells righteousness. Wow, what a great thing. If I can help you to get your life right with God in being meek and being right with God, let's get together and study and submissively obey God's word and be right with Him. Thank you for being with us this morning on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.